I asked that the question because as I learned from the Chetasika written by Nina, it said that when the person attains some jhana stage with high degree kusala citta, they have some extraordinary power. If the citta is akusala after then, so that extraordinary power is disappear.
Yes.
For examples, like the Harita Jataka, the Bodhisattva went to sense pleasures with the queen, and then he lost the power to go into the air. Yes. But later on, he regained it, and he could again have that. So it's with jhana, after cultivating jhana, it's possible to have some powers, but it's not really so important. Because what for? Yeah.
But from history from Vietnam, I have learned that some people have extraordinary power, but with unwholesome aim.
I would like to see. Please show me when I go to Vietnam. Who can do that?
Not me.
Yeah.
Concentration can create such power, even ground concentration.
Okay, but is it what? So, what do you get from that? If anyone can do that,
just curiosity.
Uh-huh.
You can travel from Vietnam to Thailand without an airplane.
Achan, I just surprised that the word bhavana is like it's the same way to translate wrongly in Sri Lanka, in Thailand, in Burma. So that's why everyone think that is meditate is something to do. But
I think that it's not just that word. Any word with no understanding is like that.
But it's wrong in the same way.
It's wrong because it doesn't mean that at all. Like bhavana, the development of right understanding right now is part of bhavana. Without listening and understanding whatever we have discussing now, how can there be the progress or the development of understanding further? What one does when one bhavana, namo tassa bhagavato or what? What does one do when one bhavana? What does one do when one bhavana? Sit in the beginning,
yes.
In special position,
yes.
And
concentrate on something and believe that is.
I would like to know what something is.
Well, I guess it's like a breath.
Okay.
Rising, falling of
okay.
The belly.
No, not that at all.
Okay.
Like, put your hand up. See, it's that bhavana to be told to do, no understanding at all. So that cannot be bhavana.
You ask why so many people, everyone even in Buddhist countries, understands bhavana in this way, like
yes.
Put your hand up, concentrate on breath, whatever they are told to do, follow instructions. And the reason is because self-view is so strong and everyone would like to have results, so everyone would like to do something and get results. So no matter their they call themselves Buddhist or not Buddhist, it's the same. Everyone would like to be able to do something with the idea they can control it and get particular results. That's the reason why.
So I'm not interested at all. If someone say, put your hand up, what for? Tell me. Otherwise, I will not put my hand up. No reason.
Not understanding.
Or even,
doesn't care.
Yeah. Or even breath. What is breath? Tell me before I will follow. What is breath? And why breath? And what does it bring? Any understanding or not?
Not understanding, but it's mentioned in the Buddha teaching, so just...
No. No understanding of breath at all. Just read the word breath. But know nothing about it. Because breath is conditioned by citta. So, even at moment of sleeping, citta conditions breath. So what?
Maybe, Ajahn, we could say that the breath, maybe the Buddha recommended the breath because he understood that it would be a suitable object
For the great person, Mahapurusa, only. Not for everyone. So everyone would like to be Mahapurusa.
It's so very, very subtle, and it's really hard to know what is conditioned by citta, because it's not just blowing any air, and that's not breath. And it appears at the upper lip or the nose tip. And you have to be really very skillful. And it is true. It's said in the Visuddhimagga, only the Mahapurusa, the great sons of the Buddha, can really successfully develop this subject. But people have wrong understanding when they read it. And they think up and down of the body, other parts of the body, they think they can follow it. But that's not a meditation on breath at all.
Who is considered to be a Mahapurusa is already an enlightened or not? Or just very great disciples of Buddha?
I think the great disciples of the Buddha. They were enlightened, yes. We don't know really, but very excellent people could do it. Although in other suttas we read about other people who also could develop it. I think Rahula also could.
No need to know who's Mahapurusa, right? But what's about one's own accumulation? Otherwise one might be too afraid to understand breath whenever it appears. So it depends on conditions. It does mean that if you try to know it, and then it can be known, it's impossible. So we can see that it can be object of sati, no matter it's the samatha bhavana or vipassana bhavana, but not at will at all.
Ajahn, would you maybe say a little bit more about that in terms of breath is a concept? But what realities does breath represent?
Can you feel breath when it appears?
Well, I would think it. Some of the parts would be like pressure,
mm-hmm.
and maybe even sound, very subtle sound. But this is not from experience, this is from thinking about it. So mm-hmm. I was just asking you about...
As much as we understand is that there is breath for everyone, right? It's like eyes, ears, nose, tongue, and breath is part of the body. But Buddha said that it's conditioned by citta. So it's not just like when the wind blows or there's tangible object touching the sense, body sense. So it's that we take it for something special because we separate breath from other kind of Mahabhuta Rupa because it's the core of life. Without it, there's no life. It means that without citta, there's no life. And citta conditions breath. How many citta does not condition rupa?
Seeing, hearing, smelling, touching.
Yeah. That we don't have to think about, but as long as now there is breath, because there are cittas which can condition breath. But as breath does not appear, so don't mind it. Or still wanting to have breath as the object? So when anyone tells you to be mindful of breath, does that person have any understanding of breath to tell anyone to concentrate or have it as object? Because they have no idea about breath. Just think that there is breath. But what about the characteristic which arises and falls away, having citta as conditions? When reality is appearing, do we have to understand how come that reality from citta or uttu or ahara or kamma? Or not necessary at all, because it's not the understanding of the conditions yet. No understanding of it as just a reality. So how can there be the precise understanding of its conditions? So it's thinking, not experiencing with understanding. And that is bhavana, learn to understand the object with right understanding. It depends on whether it's samatha bhavana or vipassana bhavana. It doesn't mean that I would like to concentrate. I would like to bhavana. I would like to understand. That is a self. And not the right conditions for tranquility or panya to arise at all. Because of I try. But kusala citta, which sees the danger of the experiences of the sensuous object day in and day out in one's life, very, very tiresome, it can condition moment which is much better than just experience the five sense dolls all day, night, life, go on with just this. Not enough seeing, not enough hearing, not enough touching, or too much. Not enough.
And hung with these special experiences that people think they have when they follow a concentration practice, which we understand to be wrong concentration practice because there's no understanding. But it seems like they have some special, unusual experiences that they can hear voices or they can see special images. But it's like in a dream. It seems that one can hear voices and have very unusual, strange experiences. And the same way when this very, very strong concentration, it's like a kind of delirious state, and it seems one can hear voices or have all sorts of extraordinary experiences, but actually it's all in one's imagination. So the reality is thinking at those times. It's not really hearing anything. It's just thinking that one hears some special voices or some particular experiences. And it's dangerous, actually. It can lead to madness because one really thinks one's having these extraordinary experiences and one wants to have it more and more. So then one begins to cut off from daily life and just accumulating more and more wrong concentration. I remember in Ho Chi Minh City, one lady who thought she had all sorts of experiences, but she said in her ordinary life, always very unhappy and always angry, but just clinging to these strange experiences, but actually no understanding, so just becoming more and more unhappy in life and just following more and more wrong concentration. After the discussion yesterday when we were talking about, well, not following any rule because someone says lift your hand or something, and then Phil made a comment about the Vinaya being rules and instructions. Would you like to follow that through, Phil?
I don't remember exactly. Vinaya, we were talking in the kitchen last night, that's is that right? I think I heard you explain, Ajahn, that comparing Visuddhimagga and Vinaya, in both cases people might believe that there are instructions, but you explained in Vinaya it is more like instructions, in that when someone becomes a monk, they have chosen that life and there are certain behaviors that are expected, and they will suffer bad results if they don't follow these behaviors. So I think you explained that the Vinaya was really more like a system of moral instructions compared to Visuddhimagga, something like that.
So actually, what's the meaning of the Pali Vinaya? It's like bringing out or take out kilesa, little by little. Who can do that? Only Dhamma can. No one at all. So Vinaya is Dhamma, and Dhamma is Vinaya. But when it's about the monk's Vinaya, it concerns life, monk's life, from morning to time when they retire. Because why does one become monk? Giving up all layman's life, everything. Money, television, football, and processions. See, monk has only three pieces of cloth to wear, and one bowl, and Buddha didn't wear shoes. Give up all the lay people's possessions, see? What for? To see that life is so easy to run one's life, very, very simple. Just food and accommodation, that's all. So it cannot be compared to lay people's life at all. And cannot compare to the virtues of Buddha. So for the Buddhist followers, it depends on whether one has intention or conditions enough to become a monk, to live that life happily. Otherwise, it's not happy at all to follow the rules of the monks. So no one force or compel anyone to be monk. And once one thinks that one cannot live that life anymore, one can become lay people again. Mm-hmm. No rule at all. So if we understand that, we can be Buddhist follower as lay people or monk, depending on accumulation. Because even lay people can attain enlightenment to the degree of arahata. But as soon as the one has become arahata, no more conditions to live the lay people's life anymore. By conditions. Like King Suddhodana, Buddha's father, see? He can attain enlightenment while he was a king before his death. So it depends on right understanding and accumulation. So one knows one's own accumulation, even one's own charita. See, according to Visuddhimagga, there are vitakka charita, satta charita, and so on. But right now, who knows? But when there is the understanding of the daily way of living, one knows one's own charita. Even at moment of developing right understanding, you can see that sometimes this is suitable for sati to arise. Like moment when you recite the Pali terms, praising the Buddha's virtues, Namo Tassa Bhagavato, see. You can see that at that moment it can be conditioned for awareness to arise and understand citta or whatever appears at that moment. But still, Buddha said that one shouldn't cling to that moment or conditions. He talks about conditions for everything like tranquility or right understanding, but it's just for detachment. So one cannot tell, now I have satta charita or panya charita or whatever, but by understanding, you know, even the satipatthana, the four satipatthana, whether it's suitable for you for cittanupassana satipatthana or kayanupassana satipatthana, vedana satipatthana or dhammanupassana satipatthana, but not for attachment. So Panya can see at that moment whether there is attachment to such place and such a situation or not. If it's there, only Panya can see that it's useless to think that that is suitable for you because there will be inclination to be there or having that object instead of detachment. Because right understanding develops, the more it develops, the more right understanding will bring to detach from clinging to even very slight attachment. Otherwise, nothing can detach from such object. For example, if breath is object right now, see what happens? When panya is not developed,
it's just a moment and gone.
It can condition attachment or aversion that, oh, it's not suitable for me, something like that. It shows that any reality can arise by conditions, no matter when. For panya to see that it's not self, it can be anything which is accumulated to be sankhara, to condition such moment like moment of thinking, see? We don't know what we'll think next or tomorrow, but there are conditions for its arising. So the only way or the only time to know is the moment when it arises. That's why one can see by accumulation. And what you cling, like my body, everything seems is now. Like I have lung and heart and everything. And that is the idea of self. Until each is very free from the other. No relation at all. Like the seeing has nothing to do with the hearing. It has nothing to do with thinking. It just arises and then falls away. It cannot meet any other reality, like seeing does not know hearing. It cannot know or it cannot experience sound at all, see. Each one is each element. So it's the long way to develop right understanding, to really understand whatever appears now as just a reality, no relation with other reality at all. So that's not me. It cannot be me. No relation to the idea of it's my or me anymore.
Can there be, can a lopa condition kusala?
Yes. Wanting to be born in heaven, so do good deeds for to be the cause.
And there's kusala with understanding, and there's kusala without understanding, is that right?
Can we pray and pray to have right understanding? Make a wish? No reason.
And whenever there's a moment of understanding, there is sila at that moment.
Sure. It's the ground of all kusala.
When I first met you 3 years ago, I was very, very concerned about sila, and I wanted to be a better person, and it seems sometimes now that I'm so interested in understanding that sometimes I think I don't appreciate enough, the way I used to, the importance of doing good deeds, whether there's understanding or not. And sometimes I think I should be more concerned about that, or there should be more concern about that.
It means that you are just a little bit on the way to be free from attachment. You can leave your boss. Little by little, until you know boss.
But I think that what he's saying is that because before he was so interested in sila, and so there was a little more care perhaps in ways of behavior or speech, whereas now, because he appreciates that what's most important is understanding of realities, so maybe there's more carelessness in speech or behavior, or it's almost like an excuse, well, it's just conditioned dharmas, is this?
There's that concern. More than speech, the speech was wrong before, but maybe even worse behavior, that when it happens, I don't feel the concern that I would have before.
Because it's conditioned by accumulation. That's the reason why Buddha taught about yoke. Even when it's so good, it's still yoke. I, me. But who is there? No one. What arises condition? This is the understanding. Only Panya can see that, and it can be more well established. That's why the more one understands reality, that's one still mind about akusala or kusala. See, at moment of minding, it's you. The yoke is there. So it depends on Panya. to be strong enough to become detached from the idea of self. Otherwise, it is yoke, or it would like to have goodness or to be good so that it's me who can do that. But that is not the teaching to the end, just to be good, but no understanding. So what is the core of his teaching? Understanding. Because if akusala does not arise at all, you try to stop it. How can you know your own accumulation? And at that very moment, the idea of self is so strong, but no understanding that it's there. Just wishing and wanting for the best of life, just for your own sake.
But still, of course, if there is understanding of whether the moment is kusala or akusala, of course that understanding is valuable.
Mm-hmm.
But we, the cheaters, are so quick that trying to have that understanding, it's again, it's just the self, the yoke. But we can still appreciate kusala. I've kind of lost. I'm sorry. This is sort of a me story. But
yes, it's you, your accumulation,
yeah.
Not others.
Yeah. I feel that I've kind of lost my sense as a religious Buddhist that I had before, and I appreciated last night after the discussion when we I don't even know how you say we gave a prayer for your friend who passed away, sharing the merits. You see, before I would have known that, and I don't think there's any answer to that, or I sometimes think about faith, sadha, and what sadha is, and I know it's not a matter of how to have it. I've learned recently, or I've been reminded, that there's sadha with every moment of kusala again, and I appreciate that. So the English conventional meaning of faith or confidence maybe is not helpful. But could you talk about sadha a little bit, please?
At this moment, there's not only sadha with kusala, there's also parsa, vedana, sanya, cetakna, ekakata, chivitindriya, manasikara. Can all of this be known exactly the same? One tries to experience sattā. What about parsa? What about jivitindriya? See? So it's only curiosity and the idea of self again and again. And without right understanding, one cannot understand that one is in the cage of lobha. Very, very wide and pleasant cage, full of goodies. But it's me. No understanding about not self at all. So one can see that how can one go away just a little bit from being in cage of lobha? It's through understanding that lobha is there. Lobha is there. The cage is there. So if you don't know, you just walk around in the cage. But if you know that that is the cage and you know how to get out of it, you develop the strength to be able to get out. That's why for the second truth, it's lobha, should be getting rid of. Because one follows lobha from the first moment one wakes up.
Getting rid of lobha with ditti, not
right understanding only is the way. Because you don't know that lobha is here and now, at moment of seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, touching. So when there's no understanding, how can you get rid of it? It's always there. From morning to as soon as one gets up, wakes up, it's there.
But we...
Through each doorways.
We don't hope to get rid of that kind of lopa, do we?
Not seeing the danger of lopa. So no way to understand the arising and falling of reality right now because of lopa and ignorance. Many people just want to be good, that's all. No understanding, that's all. They think that it's not important, just being good. Because they don't know about unwholesomeness at that moment. The very fine whip.
The whip. Oh, the web.
Spider,
yes.
Web.
The spider web.
Yes. The spider web.
Sticky as well. Today
yes.
You said the strong and thin, but also
yes.
Very sticky.
Yes.
That's
yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a good.
And a little bit earlier,
Ajahn was mentioning in passing about conditions mentioned such as place and this kind of thing, and I think you had something more on that you wanted to bring up.
It was about the conditions by which, maybe I'll just, if I could read this out please, Akusala kama as well as kusala kama need other conditions to be able to produce their results. Four of these conditioning factors are favorable or advantageous, and four are unfavorable. Some akusala kama that have been performed can be prevented from producing result through the four favorable factors. Favorable place of birth, gati, favorable body condition, upadi, favorable time, kala, and success in means or occupation, payoga. So thus, when someone has a favorable place of birth, has a favorable bodily condition, lives in a favorable time, and has success in his means or occupation, some akusala kamas do not have an opportunity to produce results. What I feel about, well, maybe I don't know if I had a particular question. Maybe I was thinking about our friend who's now his situation is very bad, but and it seems like situation can be good for some people. But as I was saying yesterday, now I feel it's all the second citta, it's all the ditya, and really understanding, I think everybody wants to avoid having akusala kama produce results, and people cling to that, but really understanding is the most important thing, and if akusala is going to produce its results, it will. And to have these conditions is beyond our choice anyways, so I'm not sure if why I'm asking about that. Really?
Usually anyone who read just want to understand the meaning of that which is in the book, right? But what about understanding now so that you can read and understand what's there in the book? Otherwise, without the fundamental understanding about realities at all, and just read, no one can understand that at all. For example, not just saying or by like following the words or the paragraph or the page. What about if we were not here? Can we think about the dharmas like we are hearing, discussing now? See, can that be the suitable or favorable condition? See? That's why we can see that it depends on time, it depends on birth, it depends on many, many factors to produce result. even we have enough or just the conditions for kusala to arise, but we don't listen. Can it grow? Very simple. Friends, if the, we have only friend who keep asking me to do something, okay, go somewhere with pleasure and things like that all day, all the time, can that be the favorable conditions for right understanding to develop? Or if it happens to experience the ugly sound or situation, can you stop not having akusala to arise? Even you have studied a lot, and even in the morning you understand realities, but when time comes, that can be right conditions for such moment to arise. So it's natural. But Buddha taught us by many means for what will arise by birth or by time or by other conditions. So natural.
Can we appreciate our good opportunity? Can we be...
It arises by conditions. The matter can or cannot is there by conditions.
In Buddhist countries, are there any, again, this is a kind of ritual, but in the morning, are there any prayers to express gratitude for the opportunity to hear the Dhamma and to...
With what kind of citta?
Could be with attachment, as we were saying before, and I was asking mm-hmm. whether there could be whether attachment could condition.
So who know conditions for such and such reality to arise? Only oneself can know, with right understanding only. It's gone completely. That's why right understanding is the best of all Sankhara Dhamma.
And generally we can
just say that attachment leads to more attachment. So if one thinks, well, it's attachment, but it can condition kusala, then it's like wishful thinking, because attachment just accumulates as attachment, wrong view accumulates as wrong view. Even though, in fact, attachment can be a condition for kusala, it's a very long way round.
Yeah, nothing, not something to count on or plan on.
So if one thinks, oh, well, it's okay to follow this wrong practice because, okay, it's motivated by attachment and wrong view, but that can be the condition for kusala, it's quite wrong.
I think before, when I used to recite, for a very short time, I used to recite those sort of verses, I think, that I found somewhere. I always had a sense of being a Buddhist and being a good person, and that was very pleasant, and I don't know, again, just attachment, but who knows?
Can we say that when there is no panya, usually there's lobha? And when there is lobha, there's no panya.
I relate what you say about the same when we are in kun...
Nope.
Car, because he had the tape of Bhutang Saranang Gacchami and sung in very nice melody. Yes, so it sounds very nice, and then immediately we felt very drawn by it, and it was a very nice feeling. And I think that if we had not been hearing so much about Satalobha, we would be lured to think that those are Kusala moments. Yeah. So, yeah. And, you know, like after a while, in the mind, it started to sing, and it showed that attachment is already there.
Even the expression, it sounds so nice. See? It attends to the sound, not the meaning.
But can we not say also, not just only akusala, but it can be mixed in with some kusala moments, because we are all a mixture of kusala and akusala. So I think we cannot say it's all lobha. There can also be moments in between of kusala, sincere kusala.
But when one says the sound is so nice,
Ajahn, thank you for that comment. Just in part of when you were answering Phil, and you said that we want to understand what is in the book, but why don't we understand what is here now, and then we can understand what is in the book. Usually, we get it around the other way. There was just something else in terms of when we ask questions, often you seem to be able to tell very quickly when the question is motivated by lobha, by wanting to know something. And I was reflecting that it would be very good if we could do that ourselves. Like, it is a good example that you recognize so quickly that, for example, Phil asked about faith, and then you said, well, but what about the other things that, like pasa, that could be arising, which was like a way of saying we want to choose, like, the faith in that example.
And no understanding about one's accumulation to be able to understand it or not. See? Like satta. Can anyone understand it without being aware of it? Because at moment of right awareness is so very, very exact and precise. Satta is satta, not other thing else. But when it's not that siddhi with sampajanya, it's impossible, because it arises and falls away. It's only idea whether it's satta or not satta, because satta does not appear as object of right awareness. So it's only thinking about satta, like thinking about pasa. So what is satta? Can it be known now? Or after developing understanding enough, and we don't know whether it can know patsa or satta or jivitindriya or manasikara, beyond our understanding to know such and such reality. Because even visible object or that which appears now is not known yet. So how can there be conditions to understand that which does not appear? That's why one should know one's own accumulation, whether we can read the commentary or Tipitaka, only one book, and understand all of them, all of that in the book. Impossible. No one at all. So why try to be that person to understand everything in the book? But whatever can be understood right now, it can develop to the degree that we can see the accumulation to be able to understand that which appears. No, and it's in the book. Even breath is in the book. But at the moment when it is the object of awareness, you know. better than just read what breath is and how to have breath as object of understanding. See? It cannot be other things except breath when it's breath. But now, when it's not object, it's not object. The object of this moment can be seeing or whisper object, but there can be the understanding of the development of understanding what appears as just a reality only. Starting from Dhamma, it has to be now. It has its own characteristic. It's so real, but it's unknown. That's why we listen to whatever appears, on and on and on, until there's a little more understanding of whatever appears, little by little. Don't think of that which does not appear, or superpower, or so forth. Be sure breath can appear as the object. For the person who has conditions to experience it. But not by trying to know, to understand, to have it as object.
If we want to know a lot about many things, we don't know about the present moment.
Mm-hmm.
I remember you said
that's
that.
Why in the Tipitaka, always about seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, touching, and thinking. Six Dharmas.
And a little bit earlier, you were talking about, in passing, about the monk's life and the knowing the knowing one's accumulations, and not a matter of just following rules, but by developing understanding and living the way which is so different from the lay life. And sometime maybe in Vietnam, you mentioned that the monk's life today is very dangerous because they don't follow rules, and it creates uppity. Not paying respect to the teachings, but living like a monk is like a robber, so after death it's straight to hell. And of course this sounds very strong language, so it's very very strong akusala karma to live like a monk and not follow
it's
the rules.
It's like the result of a lie, right?
Result of a lie. It's like telling a lie and living the result.
Mm-hmm. Going around for food as monk, but actually not a monk. So it's like a lie. The result of what, and what is the result of lie? Lying.
Lying repeatedly is rebirth in hell.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like not just telling a lie once, but every day telling. Mm-hmm. Telling lies. So for most monks today, like that, because so few that follow the rules, if any.
Sarah, I don't understand. I mean, I don't quite know the context of that, but is it to do with the monks not understanding the teachings, or what? Can you say what this means?
I think it's because of not understanding the teachings, and therefore not seeing the harm or the danger in leading a monk's life, but not following the rules perfectly. And we know that only actually those who have developed understanding can lead a monk's life very perfectly. The reason the rules were laid down was because people were beginning to not lead the monk's life perfectly. But if one takes robes and supposedly leads that life in the name of the Buddha and follows those rules, but actually doesn't, as Ajahn says, it's actually like telling a lie. And in the text it mentions being a robber, because it's like one goes out and lives from the support of lay people, but it's under false pretenses. It's like a robber going into the house and taking the food and possessions, because really one isn't a monk, but one is pretending to be a monk. And in the text it says the result of abusing the monk's robes in this way is very serious, and it results in hell. So this is why, if one isn't going to lead a monk's life perfectly, better disrobe, because the implications are very serious. Like if monks follow protests or activities that are not appropriate, or handle money or any of these things.
You mentioned getting support from the lay people, and the lay people give alms on the basis of the monk following good Vinaya, because they understand it brings merit to them. And so if the monk is a monk of not good Vinaya, he's basically living a lie. In those terms, he's gaining his support under false pretenses.
And does it concern a number of rules, or all rules to be considered to be a theft?
Do you mean...
Because we know that there are 227.
Yes.
So, because I remember Ajahn mentioned about that in Vietnam, and it was regarding some rules.
There are different
basic rules,
different levels of seriousness of rules. But I think what's being referred to here is continuously breaking rules. So it doesn't mean if a monk breaks a rule that he's gaining his alms falsely, but if he were to continuously do so, then that would be an instance. But the severity would depend on the level of seriousness of the breach.
Look, I won't pursue this too long, but I'm just interested in the relationship between that and the lay people who one would assume in good faith offer the food or the alms. The fact that the monk is not leading the proper life, does that affect their kusala? Is that a condition for their kusala to not be kusala? Like
not kusala. But it does, of course, affect the degree of kusala, because degree of kusala depends on the virtue of the receiver.
I think that's what I was trying to get at. Thanks, John. Thank you. And that makes it clearer as to why it's so serious.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
The breach of the
precepts, the breach of the rules is on the monk's part. For example, if the monk handles money, he is the one that is breaking the rule, because he's the one that has undertaken to follow those rules. But from the layperson's part, obviously it's unwise to support any activity that may lead to a breach of rules. So that's why you wouldn't present a meal after midday, or you wouldn't present money or something like this. But actually the breach is on the monk's.
Me of times in Bangkok when I have seen monks early in the morning during Bindabat hours with money, being given money in the alms bowl, is the breach there, well, on behalf of the giver, the lay person who's giving?
Don't blame.
No.
You can't blame the lay person.
You know, after receiving the money, what monks should do?
Explain that you cannot accept.
After getting that money, going back, give, what should the monk do with that money?
Give to the, I don't know, not use it for himself.
Throwing away,
eh? Mm-hmm. Okay.
Close your eyes, close one's eyes and just throw it. Otherwise, you go back and have attachment to that money.
Right.
Want it.
Not giving it to a good... What about giving it to a...
It's not...
An orphanage or something.
Because it's not the monk's duty
not the monks.
To handle it
that's
in any
right,
way at
that's
all.
That's right.
And on the lay person's part, there may be some kusala, but it's unwise.
Yes. Yes.
But you can't... Like Ajahn said, you can't blame the lay person. It's
no.
The monks that have followed the, have the rules to follow.
Yes, that's true.
That's why the lay people should understand the Vinaya too.
And when we talk about, well, like living a lie and creating conditions and resulting in hell, so I think, as Jonathan you mentioned, so it may not be something so serious like stealing or something like this, but it's just like if one is handling money every day, it's just that accumulated breaking of the rules that brings such a result. Is that what you mean?
What about the great lie?
Just the great lie.
The result of it is going to hell.
The great lie of pretending one is a monk mm-hmm. when one isn't.
Yes.
They think they are monk.
They have broken Vinaya, they should know. So if the broken Vinaya, for example, the some Vinaya, breach of Vinaya would result in dismissal, immediate dismissal from mm-hmm. there. And other breach would involve confession and that sort of thing. And
mm-hmm.
So there's all different degrees, but they are, to the extent that they are in breach of rules, they are not a monk.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not a black or white situation, mm-hmm. but it could be, if the breach was serious enough, they could be not entitled to remain a monk. But anyway, they know that they've broken Vinaya, and they may or may not have confessed it. Because the first thing you have to do is confess.
I was about to say something about the monks in Vietnam, but I think I don't have enough knowledge about that. So I just refrain from.
But not only in Vietnam, all over the world.
We're talking about deceiving, a high degree of deception. What about joking, tricking someone when joking? I mean,
it's
that's
not as serious as other level of apathy, doing wrong. There are many degrees.
Many degrees, yeah.
You mean for lay people or monks?
No, not monks at all, just
lay people.
Oh, lay people.
Not so serious.
It is accumulated.
Accumulated.
So you have that habits.
Mm.
Just ordinary accumulated loba.
Not rebirth in hell.
You're not a monk.
And like condition that Kun Fu just said, it can support the karma.
And nowadays, you know that many monks who, when they receive money, they don't take the money directly, but they have some they call the kapia, who keep the money for them. And if they would need, for example, a computer, they would ask the kapia to buy it for them. So it's that in accordance to the Vinaya, or it's not
receiving himself. Why not give to the other, to the one who take care of that monk, the Vayavachakaran?
Is saying the money is given to the monk's supporter, and then the monk asks the supporter to get him a computer or something. So
the question is
that in accordance to the Vinaya,
that buying computer,
that he doesn't take the money from the giver
for accommodation like clothes and medicine, mm-hmm. food sometimes.
The four just requisites.
To be able to live, keep life going on. In order to follow the rule, not to break the rule.
Just on this question of breaches by monks and confession, I'm sorry Maeve is not here because she raised the question in the van after the discussion the other day of what is the effect of confession when the monk has
sitting up. It means that he realized that he has done something not according to Vinaya.
Right.
So he would follow Vinaya after this.
Right.
But not every day. Confession.
No, but is that supposed to be gusala? Yep. You know, is it
understanding what's right and what's wrong.
What's right and what's wrong. And is there an equivalent thing for lay people?
What degree?
Well, I don't know, because this also came up in the discussion about thinking about the gusala and agusala one has done during the day, and especially in terms of the agusala.
No apatti for lay people.
No, but you mentioned knowing what's right and what's wrong.
So citta is agusala, no matter monk or lay people, when we talk in terms of Dhamma.
Talking about the confession.
Lay people do not have to confess.
No, but if they just themselves, they don't have to confess to another person, but if they
at
themselves...
At moment of realizing what's right and what's wrong, it's only right understanding which knows that.
Can the good Dhamma friend, if we talk to the good Dhamma friend about something we have done and we have right understanding, does it help to talk with the good Dhamma friend?
It doesn't matter to talk or not to talk at all. It depends on citta at that very moment, kusala or akusala.
So the good Dhamma friend teaches us about reality.
Ready to help. Ready to do whatever benefit to friend.
But the best thing a Dhamma friend can do is to help to understand realities.
To be a real friend, true friend.
So that would also involve developing understanding, because if one tries to be the good friend but does not understand, one is not really helping the other.
Not in Dhamma. In other way.
Talking about karma and support conditions, I had a note that you mentioned on a tape I was listening to, the collection of all kilesa karma to be conditioned to arise, and the result of karma, which one will condition rebirth? What about other karma, that citta which ready to bring results? So we're talking about not just one
kilesa, that is karma, that will bring result, but the collection of all kilesa, or many, many moments of karma, which brings result, and which one will bring result, what about other karma, depends on that citta ready to bring result, such as the rebirth citta. So in other words, the karma collects all the karma which can produce result in that life, including other karma from other lives. And what you were saying was that was why people have different vidicittas all the time, different appearances, different ways of speaking, because of the varied results. And I think that it's helpful to appreciate how karma accumulates to bring the result, and how there are many other supporting karmas that bring results at such time, like it may be a result of kusala karma to be reborn as a human, but maybe other akusala karma which bring results, so maybe the voice is very gruff or something like that. Is there anything you can add on it?
When one falls, is it the result, the same karma, the result of the same karma, which conditioned birth consciousness?
Other different karma, yes, okay. During life.
So the other karma can produce
results anytime. Yeah. So during the life, the one that brought birth may condition other rupas, for example, eye sense or ear sense or bring other results, but then other karmas bringing other results
because they are
throughout life, uncountable
karmas.
From the first moment.
And previous lives too. As much as one can know is moment of seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, touching are the result of karma. We don't know which karma.
Which one. And we don't, right. Yes, so many different karmas
bringing
results.
For example, seeing right now, who tries to know? Is the result of what karma in what life?
Impossible.
Yeah. So one can see how much one can know, that's all. Instead of trying to know that which it's impossible to know.
So really, it's just helpful to know just uncountable kinds of karma accumulated and ready to bring results at different times. We don't know what, and never any idea of what or how or when.
Just to know that seeing, hearing, tasting is the result of the karma, and understanding that is enough
self.
About the karma.
Not self.
Right.
So seeing, hearing, tasting, smelling, touching, they're all vipaka, result of past karma, past karma. Gamapata?
Must be. If it's brought result, such as seeing or hearing, it must have been karma, chetana, of the degree that it was a complete course of action. For example, just joking now is not going to bring a result. But if it's the telling of a lie, deliberate lie, in order to harm someone, it can bring a result. So at each moment it's karma, but it's only karma pata that can bring a result when it's the completed course of action that harms another, such as killing or stealing or lying.
What about understanding kilesa, the danger of unwholesomeness, no matter of what degree? And also danger of akusala karma. Is that not enough?
But if there's not a a bad deed now, how can we understand it?
Listening, hearing about what really happens, like seeing, and after that, what kind of citta, and after that, what kind of citta, to understand that life is like this, is the way it is, the way of Dhamma, the way of Dhatu, the way of realities. Nobody can change, but can understand.
For example, yesterday was somebody asked about killing, and you said, are you killing now, which was a...
Seeing the danger of akusla is enough.
It's enough.
Mm-hmm. But no understanding of the danger, so one has still akusla arising from ignorance. Not really seeing the danger.
But you're saying that we should understand the danger by understanding the citta now.
Yes, because
seeing and the lopa that follows.
Mm-hmm. And seeing the danger of all unwholesome realities, no matter what degree.
What about if we read suttas about evildoers who have fallen into terrible hells?
By degrees of akusala, strong degree.
Can we understand anything about hell?
In your life, do you have pain in hell more than just once in a while? Continuous pain. Or unpleasant objects.
Is a continuous of the continue of the akusala movement in a strong level, the hell. It's like that, right?
Talking about citta one at a time, like seeing, is the result of kilesa, which condition kamma, and then the kamma which has been done can condition vipaka. Without kilesa, there's no kamma. Without kamma, there's no vipaka. We talk about this but not understand the reality of what we are talking, like now, vipaka or kilesa or kamma. Now, kamma on... Not kamma?
Yes, they say.
Yeah, but talking about kamma, what kind of kamma now? No?
Could be kusala kamma, as long as of understanding or wise reflection of the Dharma.
You don't have to do anything, don't have to prepare, just listen and understand. It's akusala. Not understanding is akusala, understanding is kusala. But understanding is kusala kamma, but not understanding, it might not be akusala kamma, only kilesa.
And I think you had a question the other day about when we were talking about different kinds of wrong speech, about gossip. We were talking about, you know, under the, when we're reading about the akusala kamapata and the different kinds of speech, and one was gossip, and we were saying, well, there are different degrees of harming, and so when it mentions, someone was asking, when it mentions, it goes through... It talked about harsh speech, and
it's all right. He can join me.
Speculation.
It talked about malicious speech and harsh speech, and then it came to gossip. So it can, it's when we hear about malicious speech or harsh speech, it's
we understand how it can be harmful, so harmful to others, and will that it can bring results. And when it comes to gossip, of course, it can be just a little bit harmful or seriously harmful. So I think when it talks about gossip as being of the degree that it can bring results, then it has to be the one that really is deliberately harming the other.
Can it harm an arahata?
Intending to harm the other. It cannot harm an arahata.
Mm-hmm. Yes. See.
So it depends on the other whether they are harmed. But
so what is the real harm?
The intention to harm.
The kilesa.
The kilesa is the harm. So it's when the kilesa is strong enough that there is the intention to harm another that it is of that degree. That
there can be intention to harm an arahata, but the arahata is not
cannot be harmed.
Cannot be harmed.
No.
Can I ask something about harming others in relation to stealing? It seems that stealing is often motivated by lopa. It will often result in harming the other because the other loses something, maybe a great deal in some cases. But the intention is more about wanting to have, not wanting to harm.
But if you kill just to get the possession?
Well, clearly that's a clear one. But if there is just the example of a robber breaking into a house, and there is no one in the house, and they take everything,
yeah,
they take everything, so they are not thinking to harm. They want to have. So,
no metta to the owner at all.
No, definitely no metta. Okay, so it's more like the absence of that. It's not that there's the thought of harming, but there's no goodwill.
It's the opposite of metta, though.
Yes. Yes. Need to think about that. But can I ask just about going back to hell, Ajahn? Back to hell.
Again?
Well,
because you see that here we are, not in hell.
Not in hell.
But what about again in hell, any time, by conditions?
In hell, chitta rises and falls away. Just like
exactly the same.
That exactly
experiences
the same.
And or unpleasant objects.
Can there ever be any kusala in hell?
Like when you feel pain and experience only unwholesome or unpleasant objects, can there be moment of kusala?
Well, we say that there can.
Or
if it
at moment of experiences a pleasant thing, can you stop having attachment, akusala again, different kind.
So there are no, is that part of the definition that there are no opportunities for
who knows?
Understanding?
Who knows?
You don't know.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. That would seem to me to be a more serious aspect of hell than the pain and the suffering, that there could be no.
The painful plane is hell.
Is there any Dhamma teaching in hell?
Ask them.
You
want to
go there?
Find your friend with the powers.
Well, if Mahamoggallana comes to visit, then maybe.
And where's Moggallana now?
Passed away. Needs another Mahamoggallana.
So who can help?
Yeah, no one can help. Needs the next Buddha Sasana, perhaps, or another Mahamoggallana to visit and teach. Long wait. And talking more about hell.
again.
Robert quoted this sutta which says,
possessing, well, he said 40, but it was a mistake, four qualities. One is cast into hell, takes life himself, encourages another to do so, approves of the killing, and speaks in praise of the killing. And I checked the Pali as Kaya Ducha, Vachi Ducha, Mano Ducha, and then speaking in praise. And his suggestion was that any one of these results in hell, taking life, either Kaya Ducha, Vachi Ducha, Mano Ducha, or even speaking, not killing, but praising the other's killing. But does the sutta mean just if during life one is killing and causing harm in these ways, then
as much as he can understand is the danger of all akusala.
That's all. But it doesn't mean just praising someone who kills a mosquito results in hell, for example, or something like that.
At that moment, what citta is there?
It's just akusala, that's mm-hmm. all.
So, you know, just that,
yeah,
the danger of akusala.
And the danger is it accumulates, so like one may not kill, but if one praises it and then it accumulates and next time it just...
In other way, it means that you appreciate such deeds.
You appreciate it, yeah. And in the next verse, the four... that it talks about Kaya Ducha, so deeds through the body, Vachi Ducha, and Mano Ducha through the speech and mind, and the fourth one is Micha Ditti. So the suggestion was Micha Ditti also leads to hell, but I think again it just means or akusala mm-hmm. and all kinds of akusala yeah. accumulated, and this is the result.
That's enough for me. My understanding is limited to that degree.
Right. If yours is limited, then what about
yoke. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, wouldn't didn't say about yoke at all.
Yep.
Just to be a reminder. Yep. If it's not this, then it's that, then it's yoke. Yep.
Where is Lin? And before lunch, you and Hung were going to have one or two questions you wanted to ask this afternoon. Anything ready to ask?
This morning, after the answer of my question, also the same my question is like, it's like when I... draw to my company. I often saw some akusala scene, and at the time also dosa arise, and I try to stop my dosa, but after for a while, then I found that I just let it be. I cannot stop it because it's arrived already. So it's also the same. I cannot try to do anything. So I think after talking like this, discussion like this, I also find some answers for myself.
So now it's clear that you cannot stop it. Can you let it be?
or do anything?
I cannot do anything.
No, no. So even I cannot let it be. I cannot, because it's just
by condition.
Chitta, Chaita Sika that arises and falls away. So whether you try to stop it or don't try to stop it, or try to let it be or don't try to let it be, whatever, just conditioned.
Yeah. But one question about if someone added painting, a pen.
Pain.
Yeah. Is there any akusala in there? Because they pleasure with the pain.
The pressure with the pain, or the pleasure with the pain?
Yeah.
What do you mean, the pleasure with the pain?
they like suffering. They like some pain. They are bitter. They try to cut themselves.
Oh, okay. Yes. So. So many, many different kinds of realities. So at the moment of the bodily experience, it is vipaka citta, the result of karma at the moment of bodily experience and the painful bodily feeling. But after the painful bodily feeling, then must be some aversion, some disliking, some dosa, and then maybe some attachment, wanting to have that experience again. So quite complex. But at the moment of the actual pain through the body sense, at that moment it's vipaka. And even those who have no attachment or aversion, even the arahats, still have painful bodily experience and unpleasant, painful bodily feeling, but no attachment, no aversion afterwards. And it's so strange that attachment can be attached to anything.
And I think that no matter we are talking about reality in what manners, ways, aspect, we forget this body. But one thing that we do not forget is that they're all dhammas, uncontrollable, not self. This is the point. Otherwise, we always forget we listened, like about hell or king or what. But King Suddhodana, Buddha's father, and many, many stories, but they are all gone. But what is the core and the benefit of hearing is understanding, no matter who, in what life, are only realities, like now. See, to have firm foundation of the understanding of reality as not self, this is the point. Otherwise, we might remember the story only, but not understanding whatever appears. So I don't mind the details, just understanding that there are different realities arising. Like when you talk about attachment to pain, attachment is not pain, and pain is not attachment. So we can understand the moment of attachment, it is attached to whatever appears. And pain is always pain, no matter who likes it or not. Only a reality arising and falling away in split seconds. Learn to become detached from taking realities for self.
Most of the time we live it different kind of stories, many stories.
And curiosity about what is there in the book, the karma, the kamapata, the vipaka, and so on. But what about now? Even Dhamma, not self. Is it clear now? C. seeing sees, is it clear? That it's not me, no one, only seeing, arising and sees. That's all. Thinking is thinking. After seeing, taking something out of visible object as permanent things. So it, when there's moment of beginning to develop understanding of reality like seeing, it's the bhavana, the development of understanding of a reality after listening so many, many times about it. To condition right awareness beyond control. It's quicker than we think that we will have it or try to have suitable or favorable conditions for its arising. So all the teachings conditions the right understanding to understand whatever appears. Attachment is there, unseen as asava, as oka, as yoka, see?
Achan, you just mentioned that during listening to Dhamma, if it is not akusala, it is kusala. But then if it is not kusala, it may not be akusala, but the kilesa. So I don't understand.
Kilesa is akusala.
So why you say?
If I remember correctly, what Ajahn was saying was that understanding what is being said is kusala kama. Not understanding what is being said is akusala, but not necessarily akusala kama.
Because I think kilesa is akusala, so that's why I can say not akusala, but maybe kilesa. So is it different? This make me confused.
All right. I'm just wondering whether you're remembering correctly or...
It's like you said...
Yes.
Understanding is kusala kama, not understanding is kilesa.
Because not understanding is ignorance, attachment, aversion. So these are the kilesas, the defilements. And when you say understanding is kusala kama, like we discussed the other time, other day, that if it's direct understanding of realities, then okay, kusala kama pata. But when you say kusala kama, you just mean it's kusala.
What about intellectual understanding?
Intellectual understanding is just kusala.
Kusala
but not
kama pata as well,
oh,
because
kama
it is monokama.
Still monokama.
Yeah.
It's mano-kama, but can one say it's kama-pata when it's just intellectual understanding?
Doesn't it bring result?
Well, by way of accumulation, but also...
Dana without panya can bring result. What about the right understanding? Now there is right speech. Is it not kama-pata?
Yes, okay. Also pariyati then.
Right thinking. One really want to know whether it's kama or kamapatha or kilesa, see? Mm. What about the nature, the reality, which is not self?
Yes.
Okay, we talk about vipaka, kusala, akusala. We don't talk about kriya, because it's impossible to realize kriya. Only two kriyas in daily life, panchadvara vachana and manodvara vachana, when one's not an arahata. So we can talk about the cause, the kusala and akusala, and the vipaka, the result. It seems like there is the understanding of these realities, actually none at all. Because it's only thinking and words only. If there is the understanding of vipaka. It is the understanding of seeing right now. Otherwise, we say the citta, which is vipaka, is the result of karma at moment of seeing. But when there is no understanding, the seeing, which sees as a reality, can we say that it's the understanding of vipaka? Because it's still me, not the vipaka citta. So the main thing, or the most important thing, is understanding Dhamma. And we can see that in the beginning it's impossible to understand seeing now as vipaka, because it has to be the understanding of seeing as just a reality before it can know the difference between seeing and other citta, to know that seeing is not thinking at that moment. Even we don't name or call it vipaka and kusala or akusala, it's vipaka. And we don't have to think of vipaka at moment of developing the understanding of seeing, which sees now. It is nama, we call that, but actually it's the reality which doesn't have shape, no form, anything at all, only arises to experience. Its nature is just arising and experiencing, that's all. This moment or other moment, exactly the same. That which has no shape, no form, no smell, no taste at all. It just arises by conditions, and it sees now a reality, and it hears now a reality. At that moment, no idea about vipaka, right? But by having more understanding of different realities, the understanding, seeing the difference, that thinking is not seeing, not hearing, we don't have to say that because this is vipaka. But by understanding the nature of vipaka, one can see that no one can stop its arising. It's like upatti, just occur or arise by conditions like the eyebrows and the visible object and the citta and cetasika, which is the result of karma. While one is fast asleep, no seeing, no hearing, no vipaka to experience such and such reality. But when it's not moment of being asleep, then it's time to see, it sees, it arises and see, that's all, see. And this is the moment of understanding what Buddha said as vipaka, or kusala, or akusala, by their own natures. They cannot, akusala cannot be vipaka, cannot be seeing, cannot be hearing. It has its own characteristic, whether it's lobha, attachment, or dosa, aversion. So we learn a lot. We know many, many words and names, but not understanding the nature of what we are talking about. So it is only pariyati, not patipatti, not pativeda. So one has to understand the point of listening to no matter what reality is now and here. But it can be just object of understanding, intellectual level, until at this moment a characteristic appear to awareness. And how can you know that it's the moment with awareness? Because there's touching, hardness many, many times in a day. Is there any awareness? Even the characteristic of hardness seems like it does not appear as a reality at all, because there's touching and the idea of cup or table is there. And that which appears as hardness no more, very, very quickly, just appear and disappear. So without the development of right understanding to understand reality, it has to be the firm foundation established of understanding from hearing and considering, until it can condition right awareness to arise like seeing arises. before you can think about wanting, waiting for its arising. It's there. And this is the understanding of anattaness. So we listen a lot about different stories about seeing and hearing just to understand whatever appears now. We forget all about different words, different subjects, but we don't forget about reality right now because it's now and here ready to be understood. So it begins with when it's very firm understanding of reality. At moment when awareness arises, if there's no awareness, it's like normal and usual hardness in the day, just pass like flesh, not noticing or understanding as a reality at all. But at moment when hardness appear as hardness, this is different from it does not appear as a reality, right? So in Tipitaka, in Thai, it says it appears the, which means clear, but not as clear to the highly developed panya, but it begins to appear as hardness. Even very shortly, it's different. So at moment in life today, touching many, many times, whether it appears like that or it doesn't appear like that, panya sees. But as soon as it appears to sati, we know that it appears as a reality to sati. Right? Because now it does not appear as a reality. There is only just touching and then other things arise. But when a reality like hardness appears as hardness, one can see the difference. It appears to what we call sati sampajanya. But so very, very rapidly that, but even so, there is a difference between appearing as a reality or just appear as something we used to think about. So when it's panya, it knows, it understands the moment with sati and moment without sati. Otherwise, it can develop. It cannot develop. But not with desire or attachment. This is very, very difficult because usually attachment is there. So one can see that how to eliminate attachment is only when panya arises and understanding it as a reality. Does hardness here appear as hardness only? See? Even when one is asked whether it's hard or not, and the answer is hard, it depends on understanding. A child can say that it's hard, no understanding at all. So the nature of reality cannot be changed at all. It has to be tatu, that tatu cannot be changed at all. But right understanding begins to understand little by little, very natural, and usually in a day, attachment is there. So panya begins to also understand attachment and see attachment in order to have less attachment because panya is there. Being asava, oka, yoka, see? Just to tell us that it's not just only that, it also this too. One is trapped all the way. So one begins to see ignorance, no understanding, because it's a reality which experiences, So what is the object of ignorance right now? It cannot understand seeing, hearing, hardness, or any reality as it is. And when there's the right understanding, it's different from not knowing about ignorance. It begins to see ignorance, attachment in it. So one can understand the Pali term puttucchana. What does it mean?
Something right?
Puttu.
The ordinary person. Puttucchana.
Puttu means thick. Very, very thick of akusala and ignorance.
Is that the meaning of puttucchana?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Opposite of Aryan.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh yes, the ordinary person who has not attained.
So what is who is ordinary person?
All of us.
Anyone who does not understand seeing, hearing, smelling, all realities in the day.
Sometimes it says the puttucchana is the mad one, so the thick one or the mad one.
Intoxicated.
Intoxicated.
What does ignorance experience?
Now it does not understand seeing. The not understanding, is it?
So ignorance experiences not understanding.
Experience seeing with ignorance. Not with understanding. With attachment, not with understanding. With the idea of self, not with understanding.
Always with thinking, then.
Taking thinking for I is ignorance. Not understanding thinking is just thinking. Are we blind now?
You said something about with thinking, but not necessarily that first process of jittas after seeing or hearing. There is ignorance. There will be ignorance or understanding. And at that point, there's no thinking. Is that correct, Ajahn? So it pops up before,
unimaginably quickly.
I guess I was thinking that Ajahn said ignorance experiences seeing without understanding.
Mm-hmm.
And it just seemed to me that if we experience seeing without understanding, it means we're thinking.
Understanding does not arise at moment of seeing or about seeing or the nimitta of seeing. The arising and falling away in succession of seeing now.
All realities are behind a thick black curtain.
Right.
I remember you saying
mm-hmm.
that. So thick.
So thick.
Hidden.
So deep.
Has to be courage and patience to and good cheer.
Parami, say parami.
Does parami always refer to many lifetimes? Is that meaning included in parami?
Uncountable moments of seeing. So when there is the understanding of moments of seeing, how many lives? To understand just a reality like visible object. No one in it, just this. One has to be so very truthful. Whether is there someone here or no one at all. Only the Mahabhuta Rupa for primary rupas and that which can impinge on the base, eye base, and citta can see it. See? It can experience anything, no matter in darkness or in light.
I always remember hearing Venerable Dhammadharo saying, one moment of awareness, wealthy man, one moment...
Very rich man.
Mm-hmm. One moment, and I used to reject that idea, and I said there was no hope in that, but now I feel I understand it a little bit better.
And how rich?
The only valuable treasure is...
Because money cannot buy. If money can buy, it's not the valuable at all. Because money, just money can buy that. But this is Ariya Sap in Pali.